Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The graduation ceremony controversy of the week. It is centered on House Speaker John Boehner, who is scheduled to give the commencement address tomorrow morning at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. While his office has said that he is looking forward to giving a nonpartisan, apolitical speech, his Catholic faith has actually been in the headlines this week following criticism of his voting record and the Republican budget. A letter signed by nearly 80 Catholic professors and theologians at the university and elsewhere urges Speaker Boehner to consider his faith and the teachings of charity while criticizing cuts in the Republican budget. It's easy to forget that the politics of the Catholic Church extend beyond abortion and gay marriage. Listen to President Obama recently talking about politics and Christianity.
That sense of connection, that sense of empathy, that moral compass, that conviction of what is right is what led the National Association of Evangelicals to shoot short films to help people grasp the challenges facing immigrants. It's what led the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to launch a Justice for Immigrants campaign.
So that on the Catholic Church and immigration, and the one on poverty isn't the first letter to Boehner or to other lawmakers. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has also voiced its concern over the budget cuts. They wrote, "The needs of those who are hungry and homeless without work or in poverty should come first. Government and other institutions have a shared responsibility to promote the common good of all, especially ordinary workers and families who struggle to live in dignity in difficult economic times," wrote the bishops. So joining me now to talk about Catholics, the GOP, and the budget is Stephen Schneck, director of the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at the Catholic University of America. He co-wrote and signed the letter sent to Speaker Boehner. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for inviting me, Brian. This is really special for me.
And we should say that you don't necessarily speak for the full spectrum of Catholic opinion, so we will also open the phones, particularly for Catholic listeners right now of any political stripe, to hear your take on the intersection of the Church's teachings on poverty and politics. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Professor Schneck, are you surprised how much your letter has made it into the news cycle?
I am completely surprised.
And the group of professors, yourself included, who signed it are being described as blasting and challenging Boehner, taking him to task. How do you see it?
Well, in fact, we welcomed him to the university. We view this as an opportunity to talk to the speaker about, you know, some problems that we see in his past record in regards to the poor and particularly in regards to the 2012 budget.
And what specifically do you think Boehner does and the Republicans in the House do at this time that would be contrary to Catholic teaching?
Well, if we look at the 2012 budget, it looks as if, the Ryan budget that was shepherded through by Speaker Boehner takes as its special target programs that serve the poorest and most vulnerable of Americans. These would include, maternal and child health grants, WIC programs, food stamps. Obviously, I think everybody knows about what happens to Medicaid and Medicare in this budget. And all of these things, you know, really put at risk the poorest of Americans. And, you know, it just seems that as if that's contrary to the way our faith talks about preferencing the needs of the poor in our public policies.
You use the phrase anti-life in the letter. Explain that term. What is anti-life? Because when the Church is in the news generally on a political level, it's for being, quote, pro-life on abortion.
Right. Well, we specifically talk only about the 2012 budget and its anti-life implications. And, you know, one way to look at this is in the narrow sense, in the way that pro-life is usually used in the media, and that is if you look at, for example, the cuts to maternal and child health grants, and if you look at the cuts to WIC programs, that's impacting an at-risk population of pregnant mothers and children, and could very well work to increase the numbers of abortions in the United States. So I'm concerned about that part narrowly, but in the larger sense, all of these cuts that I'm pointing to here, these are cuts that that affect what Catholics call the dignity of the person, and that dignity of the person is especially measured from how the least of our brethren are doing in our world. So that's why we can talk about the anti-life implications of this particular budget.
And in the letter, you refer, Speaker Boehner, specifically to paragraph 335 of the Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church published by the Vatican. What's that?
Right. The Compendium of the Social Doctrine of the Church is a compilation of all of the Church's social teachings gathered together in part from encyclicals that began with Rerum Novarum in the latter part of the 19th century right up to Caritas in Veritate that just came from Pope Benedict XVI recently. And as well, it reaches back to the teachings of the Gospels. And what it is a compilation of all of the Church's teachings in those regards. And that particular passage refers to fair budgets and fair taxes and so on and so forth.
Why do you think this isn't a bigger thing in the Catholic Church at large? We have bishops threatening to excommunicate politicians who support abortion rights or sometimes gay marriage. We don't seem to see the same amount of fervor in the Church leadership for these positions, even though they come out of Church teachings?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Brian. In fact, I'm in complete agreement with the Church that abortion is the number one issue. And, so in that regards, and I'd say that that's true for, the rest of the folks who signed on to this this letter as well. That's pretty much where we all stand. So abortion is the number one issue, but it's not the only issue. And in fact, the Church's teachings are quite passionate about preferencing the needs from the poor and always have been. And so, frankly, have our bishops. We refer in our letter to some recent documents from the bishops, but the bishops, since the first of the year, have been complaining about where the cuts are taking place in this budget, that they're unfairly imperiling, that vulnerable portion of our population. And we could go back, of course, decades and centuries and such to, identify the Church's concerns with these kinds of issues.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Stephen Schneck. He's the director of the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at the Catholic University of America in Washington. He co-wrote and signed a letter with about 75 other theologians and Catholic college professors to House Speaker John Boehner about the Republican policies toward the poor in advance of Boehner's commencement address at the Catholic University tomorrow. Let's take some phone calls. Sylvia in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I just said to your screener, I teach in a Catholic college. I teach in a college that is a college that serves a great majority of our underserved population, and most of our students receive a tremendous amount of financial aid. It's the only way that they could come to college and to learn. I'm a religious studies professor, and I just wanted to say that I was so thrilled and delighted to see that it was Catholic academics who were finally taking as strong a stand in terms of Catholic social teaching and the horrific policies that that the Republican Party is trying to perpetrate on my students who work so very hard and try so very hard to get ahead in life.
How do you think your students stand on things like this, or are they generally apolitical?
I think some of our students are very much involved in not only national political life, but also in international political life. We have a large number of students from other countries, not only as exchange students and foreign students, but also as immigrant students. So I think many of them are aware of what these policies will do to them, but I think many of them also feel voiceless because of who they are and where they come from.
Thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate your call. Monty in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian. Yeah, my name is Manuel, but everybody calls me Manny. I am a retired physician who has lived in this country since 1957. I'm a Cuban born, and I went to school at Ohio State, and I took care of a lot of people in my life of who had Medicaid and needed help. And I see what these people are doing now, cutting back on all the help that Medicaid, and especially also on all the Hispanic kids that were born in this country who are not allowed to go to college now, even though they were born here and had no fault. But what they're doing to medicine and what they're doing to the poor people in the House of Representatives, it's a disgrace for this country to do this. I mean, we're spending $1 billion a week or $100 million a week in the war in Afghanistan, and nobody talks about that. Everybody wants to just cut the services that we provide to people in this country who are mostly in need.
Do you feel that the church represents your politics as you've just articulated them?
The church itself doesn't. My opinions are based on my experience as a physician and a man who cares very much to take care of people. And I've been a physician 52 years, and I can't just say to the, say now we're not going to take care of people who are in need. People like me who are in Medicare, on Medicare, who are going to get blindsided here, and the people who have Medicaid, who are going to have a lot less facilities to go to the doctor. And, of course, the Planned Parenthood, which is an enormously effective program on prevention because they do the pap smears and the mammograms and the health of females, is going to be eliminated, which I can understand that.
What do you say to people who might shout back at you, but look at the country that you escaped from and how they try to impose big government on their people and what it comes to?
But that's called a dictatorship, right? That's not a free country like ours. And I didn't escape. I didn't have to leave Cuba. I came here because they closed the university in 1956, and I wanted to finish my medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to Ohio State and finished my medical school. And I went back home for a way to see if I could start prep. My father was a surgeon in Cuba, and we couldn't stand it. I mean, it was terrible oppression. And I came to live here, and I'm a proud American now. And I see our government, which is the American government, do what they're doing. I can't live in the past forever, sir.
Thank you very much for your call. John in Waterside, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm shocked that this discussion is even permitted. I mean, the single most important alleviation of poverty throughout the world over the past 100 years is birth control, the ability of people to control the number and the timing and spacing of their children so they see that each one is well-educated. And the church is universally opposed throughout the world to permitting people access to birth control, the single most important thing to do to alleviate poverty.
Uh-huh. So, Stephen Schneck, there's a challenge to church teachings on sexuality. If church policy on birth control makes it harder to have reasonable spacing and planned parenthood in the broadest sense of that term, then the church policies contribute to poverty.
I think that our letter has nothing to do with birth control. Obviously, what we're focusing on are the poor children and the pregnant women,
right,
that we already have.
But John says
to serve them.
But the caller's challenge to that is that you can't overlook the church's contribution to it, in his opinion, from not addressing birth control in a positive way.
I could get really philosophical at this point and talk about, in fact, why the church does have its position in regards to contraception and how that vision of contraception, how its opposition to contraception fits into an understanding of the fullness of human life, which includes this preferential option for the poor, among many other things. But, I think that's just a little bit too far for me to reach. It's not in my area of expertise.
Have you gotten a response from Speaker Boehner?
Not directly, no. Obviously, he's made a few comments in a news conference, and I did speak with his press secretary when we tried to deliver the letter and the copy of the compendium to his office.
In April, you proposed a way to balance the budget by 2030 by using Catholic principles. $136 billion in savings from closing tax loopholes, reducing troops in the Middle East by 60,000, returning the estate tax to Clinton levels, a 5.5% surtax on incomes above $1 million, a carbon tax, increase in the capital gains taxes, nuclear weapons are reduced. Do you think, one could look at this and say, you're not a Catholic, you're a Democrat.
Well, But, you know, given my opposition to Planned Parenthood and my opposition to contraception and so on and so forth, I don't think that the Democrats would probably be too willing to embrace me on those kinds of points. But, if you look at this budget that you're referring to, and I have to say this is more of a thought experiment than a real effort at putting together a budget, but we tried to put together a budget that was consistent with, Catholic social teachings and, that found a way to balance things, found a way to, in fact, I mean, I'm not quite sure how well it would work, but, I did better in this little, thought experiment, balancing the budget in 30 years rather than 40 years, as the speaker's budget would do.
Paul Ryan is also Catholic. Have you pressed him on the budget?
I have not pressed Representative Ryan, but it seems to me that he would be someone to press on this as well.
Stephen Schneck has been our guest, director of the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at the Catholic University of America. He co-wrote and signed a letter with about 75 other Catholic theologians and university professors to House Speaker John Boehner about House Republican policies and poverty in the United States in advance of Speaker Boehner's commencement address at the Catholic University tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up. New Jersey State Senator Richard Cody on sort of kind of being governor for a while and what's going on today. Stay with us.